CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. October, here we are, second of the month, and Gordo's here. We've got Gugu, we've got Sia, we've got our full team. It's busy.
Yes, we do.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Gareth.
Aware, Gareth. What the Darth Vader's going on here?
We're all speaking with our deepest voices to be as masculine as possible. It is my birthday, says... who's this on the... this is Tato. He says, it's my birthday. I'm turning 24. I took leave because I'm not less for those awkward side hugs from the old tunnies at work.
Happy birthday, Tato.
Yes, very nice.
Yeah, I was saying recently that, like, birthdays are a weird thing because as an adult, because... You know, each individual that wishes you means well, and you have to appreciate them because it's kind and it's nice and they're thinking of you. But it actually just becomes that day where you have as much work as on any other day, mm-hmm. and 400 people are phoning you.
Yeah, so you get the work plus the congratulations obviously slow you down.
It's like individually birthday wishes are great, collectively they're a nightmare.
It's like anything collective, really.
Oh. I don't know. Some things work well collectively.
Like, I don't know what that
means. Why? Sia's assuming that everything I say this morning is sexual innuendo, and you the one making it sexual.
Okay, break down the statements you just made.
That some things are good collectively.
Like?
Team sports. Okay. Hugs. No. Stock fowls.
Sure.
Colonies of penguins.
Anxiety.
Collections.
Okay.
Gareth collects things, and they're great collectively.
I collect some things. Yes, but they're not alive.
No, I didn't say alive.
Collections of living things are usually quite problematic.
Well, that can also be called human trafficking.
Or you could call them herds, yeah. and they could be the cornerstone of modern agriculture.
But we grow herds, and then we put them in an encampment, and we manage them.
Collectively.
Yeah, it's not so much fun when that's what we do with humans. That's called
the Matrix.
The Nazi German experiment, the final solution. Not so good.
We don't advocate.
I think they were trying to reduce the collectiveness.
Well, okay, I don't know where this is going philosophically, but good morning, everybody. Wow.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. I'm really enjoying this bright early morning thing where you wake up and, like, 6 o'clock is sunny now. It's bright. You can see what's going on. It's so dark in the middle of winter. It's miserable and depressing and shit. Love this time of year. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's too damn early. No one should be aware of what the light situation is at times like this because you'd be bloody sleeping.
Mm-mm.
But in the greater scheme of things, when we've had such darkness every time we're driving to work, this is really like
cold, crisp,
you see,
non-sweaty.
We can sit here and complain about like this waking up early thing. And it's, I sort of am a bit of a hypocrite when it comes to this because I actually quite like, once I'm up,
mm-hmm.
I like the way it feels to get the day started before everyone else does.
Yeah.
That's quite a lack of feeling.
I agree with that.
But the curmudgeonly part of me goes, wake up, 6 a.m.
It's time again.
Yeah. And then when you roll out of bed, you're like, oh no, it's so early. You feel sorry for yourself. I think everybody does, even if they wake up at 9. They're like, oh. Because I think it's much worse to waste half your day. You know, like on weekends, for example. I love sleeping in. Don't get me wrong. Again, there's hypocrisy in this. Love sleeping late on the weekend. It's my favorite thing about Saturday and Sunday mornings. But if I lie in there too long, you know, you kind of just lie there and...
Yeah. It starts becoming like a myth feeling.
Yeah.
I find like once I'm about to get in the shower, my whole attitude towards the morning changes. Like... That process of like, you know, you put the shower on and then you just chuck off all your shit and get in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yes, you know, the little cartoon bluebird from Disney movies starts to chirp.
Right.
But yes, getting out of bed. And I agree, like, you get a good feeling out of starting the day early in that. But if you're a person that's day takes you to like 10, 11, even 12 every night before you go to sleep.
Yeah, that's
getting
that's
up
hard.
At 5.
That is
crap.
Very hard.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned this the other day, but we're doing something really interesting with Waterfall Estate, which is this massive development in the middle of the area, exactly halfway between Johannesburg and Pretoria, right? And Waterfall Estate is 9 residential estates. It's a school, it's a hospital, it's a heliport,
it's awesome.
It's a Mall of Africa.
My brother lives in there. It's great.
It is enormous, and it's really good. And, I mean, I've been in there, you know, I've got friends who live there too, and I've seen the shops that they've got there and the restaurants they've got there and the school.
Gym.
It's a really nice little, like, country within a country.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
And it's so enormous that they approached us, or we approached them. I can't remember how it worked. But we said, let's do a podcast for you guys, just for the people who live there. And you can just find out about what's going on in the estate, you know, for everything from the history of the place and what goes on there to who the interesting residents are and what they do, because some of them are like, you know, bird watchers, and some of them are,
yeah.
And you could find out in a 15-minute podcast once a month what's going on in your community. I don't think this has ever been done before. And it goes up, by the way, you and I can't listen if we don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes up on their app, which is the same app that they use for access control and all that stuff. So it's something we've integrated into their system, so it's not even available for the rest of us to listen to.
You can get updates on things like Illuminati meetings.
That's right.
No board control of the economy.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it works.
Congratulations, you live in this estate. You are now a member of the Illuminati.
Come and fetch your hoods from Unit 11B. The clubhouse. And by clubhouse, we mean the palatial clubhouse. Yeah. The Emerald Clubhouse.
It's been so cool to work on this project, because meeting after meeting, when we chat to the folks at Waterfall, I'm really starting to see that I think they're going to be a more common example of how we'll be living in the future.
Hopefully, because you need a cupboard of loot to live there. So
yeah, you do. You need some loot to live there, but you also you can govern yourselves in smaller units. It decentralizes the idea of government, and that's how
the
we
convenience
should
of it all.
Yeah, I mean,
you mean like the infrastructure, the electricity, like the plumbing.
They do their own roads. They make sure that they supply their own. I think electricity and water is kind of sub. It's dealt
yeah,
with
it's
by the
it's supplemented. They've got a lot of renewable stuff there. I don't think they're running the whole place off the grid, but most of the places have got solar panels.
But I think that's so clever, because that's how we should live. And, of course, in a world like that, you don't need a president, and you don't need a cabinet minister, and you don't need a local government representative, because all of those people are irrelevant.
But you'll always need
a body corporate.
Yes, no, that's unfortunate.
I will be the resident that tells the other residents what to do.
Do you know what?
I don't know, not specific to Waterfall Estate, just complexes.
All complex. I actually don't
they're
mind
like a
my body
they're like a
corporate
community more than a complex, I know, but your body corporate people, I always wonder, like, Did you miss your chance to be a deputy headmaster?
Yeah.
Unlucky.
Yeah.
Big join the body corporate.
What, do you have bad experiences with yours?
No, I've lived in enough places to know that, like, if you really want to meddle and have no potential for real influence or power in your life, you be on the body corporate.
Yeah, it's like being a prefect.
You can get angry at people for moving their boxes on the day on the 30th instead of the 31st and stop them from leaving. It's such fun.
Did I ever tell you what I did when they tried to stop me from doing something on my property? I was going to put up these balconies on my house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't like the balustrades. They said, no, you can't use those.
Like, subjectively, they were like, that's not our taste.
Well, no, they said that the aesthetic rules of the...
They do have those, okay, to be so fair. As long as the rules are in place before they decide they don't like your thing.
So I thought, well, screw your rules.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, so I got myself elected fairly easily onto the...
# influence.
Yeah, onto the homeowners association board, or whatever it was. Made myself the head of the aesthetics committee, changed the rules, and then resigned straight away.
How long did this process take
you? About a week and a half.
Oh.
It was so elegantly done. So I had found a political solution to the problem.
My dad, who's a knob,
really?
My parents lived in this, like, really small little, like, I think it was about 12 or 14 unit little, like, I wouldn't call it a complex, but on top of Red Hill in Simonstown, they built these old things for the people that used to manage the water, and you're not allowed to build anything. There's these old cottages that were refurbished. My parents had two of them, and it was like holiday home growing up. But then they moved there when they retired, and all of them were the same color, and there were like two rows of cottages.
Right.
And like, he had some dispute with the dickhead committee. He was almost certainly wrong, where they wouldn't let him do something he wanted. So he painted his entire place yellow. So now you've got these two rows of the same color cottages, and the one is like the brightest, loudest yellow you can imagine, just in like as a revenge action against the spat about body corporate-y things.
That is
if you won't let me do my balcony with the right balustrades I want, I'm going to paint my whole unit bright purple.
Well, did I ever tell you the story about when they wanted to put a kids' playground
what
up?
What more did you do now?
No, I would have just said I want a machine gun turret club next to that.
I They must hate me, but I don't really care. I don't know my neighbors. I'm not one of those neighborly kind of guys. I know.
Hey, you nearly bought lemonade from a kid on the road.
Yeah, well, I was trying to be nice, but did I buy it? No. So you see, I'm not.
Actually.
So they said, no, there's this space between where I live and the golf course or the river, right? Mm. And it's like a open piece of grass, but it would be right in front of my house. And they said, no, they want to put up maybe a kid's playground or something. And I was like, there's no way. This will ruin everything.
Not a chance.
To move. So I said, okay. There are some people I know who are sex offenders. And I'm going to have to put up a sign for the children's safety just to
that
say,
they visit.
Warning, pederasts.
Did you use that word?
Yeah, I said, yeah, there are sex offenders. I mean, I was making it up, but it worked. Because they were like, oh, sure, well, we can't put the playground there then.
Do you understand
what
sort of a crackpot they think you are?
I don't care.
Now, that's how you get on the. That's how you get yourself in the tabloids, like Gareth Cliff, leader of sex offender ring, operating from base at home. Say neighborly insiders.
No, but imagine if they'd put up a children's playground. That would be way worse than any reputational damage.
I would just start falconing. I'd like to be like, cool guys, I falcon, and on the weekends I let them have a runabout.
And eat the children.
Don't worry, the largest thing that like my biggest falcon could eat is a 3 or 4 year old. I mean, 5 max. So don't worry about it.
And you guys,
it's not being carried away that you have to worry about as a kid. It's not the big guys that can carry you away. It's the small guys that can flap around your face with beaks and claws near your eyes. But it's cool. Build your playground. Just so long as you know, falconing.
And you don't think perhaps, you know, just a normal constructive conversation would help all of these things?
No, I don't want anyone's children where they can bother me.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't. That's got nothing to do with me. And I'm not going to allow it to get into my world.
Yeah.
No, I love
you don't
want to
pappuccinos in your fucking garden.
No. No. So, you know what? There is always a solution to any problem.
Thinking outside the box.
You just have to be creative. Right? And no one even... there was not even a discussion necessary. Like, these people obviously imagined... I think I might have blamed, like... I said... My dad's friends are sex offenders.
Oh,
so I made it his fault.
Yeah.
But either way, it worked because they were like, well, we can't put children there then. Because I said I'd have to put up a sign saying, warning.
Yeah, you could also. Friends. You could just, I mean, pornography is legal. The legal kind is legal. So you could just be like, look, I exercise my right as an adult to watch obscene pornography.
And I project it onto my walls.
I have a projector. You can see part of it over the wall. And I'm also an audiophile. So I play like 5.1 surround sound Greenwich. It actually sounds like the people closer to the screen in the gangbang are next to you, and the guys in the back are puttering away. You can actually sit in the middle of the room and feel like you're in the center of the genital soup. And that's my passion. I watch porn, so like, you know, build your playground by all means. But I wouldn't have any of the slides higher than palisade height, and that would deter them. Then you don't have to risk being mistaken for a pedo.
There are many terms there that I need to unpack. Goonage, pasa. And genital soup.
Yes.
Okay.
Feel free to unpack my pipeline, my genital soup.
I'm starting to think Sia might have a point about how everything with you has got sexual undertone.
Sia's going to unpack my genital soup.
All right, here's an interesting message. This is from Dr. Robin. Dr. Robin says, morning, guys. I'm finally listening live again after I had a holiday in Russia. I caught up on podcasts while I was away. Russia is such an interesting country. Oh, yeah.
Almost a bit continent-y. It's one of those where you get like a country that feels more like many countries. I'm dying to go to Russia. It just seems cold.
Oh, but apparently here's someone else who lives in Waterfall. Don't know if they're listening to our podcast there, but Gavin says the traffic in and out of Waterfall is a bit of a nightmare. Apparently they're building a new road. Huge new road, which will actually help people between Joburg and Pretoria, which we know is like the biggest arterial route in and out. In the mornings, it's in and out in the afternoons.
In
the southern hemisphere.
In and out in the mornings.
That's right.
In and out in the afternoon.
Have you ever had Jehovah's Witnesses knock at your door?
Have you? I've got a vague memory that it for realsies happened when I was a kid living in Rivonia, growing up in suburban South African bliss. I have a vague memory of like... something happening to do with Jehovah's Witnesses, but I don't recall it in great detail. But I believe it has happened, yeah. You?
Hmm. No, because I don't remember it when I was a child. And we, you know, I grew up on a farm for much of my childhood, so that was too far away for the Jehovah's Witnesses.
To walk or to walk. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, since I've been, you know, kind of, I've lived in a complex here in Joburg, an apartment, so they couldn't get there. Because they couldn't come in, they weren't allowed in, and now they can't get to me either. So no, people off the street can't just knock on my door, which I kind of like.
Yeah, I like that about complexes as well. Yeah. I mean, the Forwegian townhouse complex is a unique and bizarre, unique and bizarre thing of South Africa. Like we give it a bad Italian name, a Tuscan / game reserve theme. Body corporate of Medlers. Yeah, and you're good to go. But there's a few things about it I like, and that's one of them. Like, those can't just be. But neighbors in the complex can be knocking on your door.
But, I mean.
Yeah, that happens.
I feel like you guys live in disaster zones. What is going on?
It's hardly a disaster. We just don't like people.
Clearly, that's a problem.
Whoever knocks on your doors?
Yeah. No one bothers me.
Yeah.
Our body corporate don't have an annoying WhatsApp group. No, they just let us be.
Well, just think about all these wonderful incentives we've just given you on working to get people to like you. Because now when people like you, you'll have the joy of annoying people knocking on your window.
By the way, we do have Jehovah's Witnesses. They're like a couple of streets away.
Oh, yeah?
The small right next to us. No, they're always just standing there.
They live around here? Do you think they work around here?
They just always stand there. They have like a stand of their little pamphlets. And because I've never had an encounter before up until I bumped into them.
Neither have I.
I thought they were just being so nice to me. They're like, hey, do you have a moment to chat?
And then you get the pamphlet
like,
and it's game over.
Let's chat. How's your day going? Then they're like, do you have a moment for us to tell you about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
James Hetfield.
Oh, is this what is happening now?
Yeah, I've always been like, you're a Jehovah's enthusiast. You witnessed shit all. Like, if you guys are all witnessing Jehovah constantly, at least one of you must have had a cell phone on you at the time. It's like alien abductions. Mate, I get it if there were two in reported history and no one had footage, but all 400,000 of you or whatever have witnessed Jehovah.
You're like, really not paying attention if you didn't get any proof.
Yeah, when you bring into my lounge, bring Jehovah with you. I'll witness also, and then I'll also go
that'll
telling people about that awesome shit that I witnessed. You're enthusiasts.
You know, I can overlook everything that they do, and I can overlook not having surgery. I don't know why they do that, but
isn't
anyway.
That Christian scientist? Is that Jehovah's Witnesses?
Jehovah's
as well?
Witnesses also do.
Yeah, like the Williams.
Don't do surgery.
That's what the God
Serena
that failed by Metallica
and Venus's about. Parents are also Jehovah's Witnesses.
But not celebrating things?
Yeah, no, they don't.
James Hetfield from Metallica's mother was left to die of cancer without any medical treatment because of father being a Christian, the family being Christian scientists. And that was what the song The God That Failed is about.
Wow.
The Jacksons were Jehovah's Witnesses at a point.
They could have just sang, Jehovah, wonderful Jehovah, easy as one, two, three, just get on your fucking knees and worship Jehovah.
Get on your knees.
Here's an interesting message from Leandi. She says, we had Jehovah's Witnesses knock on our door. I invited them in, gave them tea, and said, before you pray or preach, let's read from my Bible, and I'll pray first. They left mid-prayer and have never knocked on my door again.
It's a good idea.
I wonder what her Bible is.
There should be a quid pro quo, right?
Yeah, totally.
If you've got to listen to their stuff, they should listen to yours. So you should have at least a half an hour to philosophize.
Yeah.
And then they can bring on theirs afterwards.
So like each chapter of the Bible is about the equivalent length of a couple of Slayer albums. Let's go tit for tat. Do you want to do a song and a verse or a chapter and an album? How do we share our philosophy?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to go, Gord. Wendell says, you guys have a Church of Scientology in Parktown around the corner from Mike's Kitchen. Say what you want about Cape Town. We don't have that here.
I bet you do. I bet you it's just an artisanal fucking Scientology church that's like handmade and handcrafted that only a few people can afford.
We have a couple of Scientology churches here in Johannesburg.
Mm. I remember I accidentally got into conversation with the guy that stands out the door of the big one in LA. Like in the middle of Hollywood, there's a Scientology center. And
is
I wanted to go in because I was, but I don't think
they
keep the celebrities in there. I mean, this dude was this bizarrely sort of squat man who was super friendly. And, because you're not looking up, you're walking on the pavement, it's busy. There's just a dude in a doorway and he starts to talk to you. And you have to like look up and around to see, oh, fuck, this is the the Jehovah's Witness, I mean, sorry, the Scientology building. It's got that like star shaped thing. And I wanted to go in because it's almost like the foyer of it is almost like a showroom. And I wanted to just see the stuff in there.
God, but once, that's how they get you.
Once the dude started talking to me, I've read books. I'm not concerned about getting got at this stage. It's my own damn fault if I do. But anyway, I got involved in the conversation with a guy who was mega friendly, and then he started about the Scientology stuff. And then they've got all of those salesman techniques to not let you stop the conversation. The only way you can stop the conversation is by you being rude, which people don't want to do. You don't want to be rude, so you sit there. And eventually, I'm just like, okay, cool, I got to go. After the third look, I really got to go. My friends are a block away. I can't even really see them anymore. I'm just like, okay, bye. But it was an interesting, bizarre, kitsch, very American building, but it was like fascinating, and I did want to go in, but I didn't want to get got. That and I don't care, and I had other stuff to do.
Casey says, good morning, guys. The area around UCT is full of those Bible-toting fucktards. I told them once I'm an atheist. Holy shit, these guys started to pray for me at the bus stop. I went back to campus because hitting people's a criminal offense.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Morning, on a completely unrelated topic, whatever happened to the Pretoria homeless people killer, Shabby?
Yes. Well, Shabby, I don't know. I remember that story.
Where are the hyphens in that? Is it the Pretoria homeless people killer? So a homeless oak is a people killer? Or the Pretoria killer of homeless people?
The Pretoria killer of homeless people.
Because it's like, it's Pretoria's homeless people killer. Like, well, shit. Put him in a home. Maybe he'll be less aggressive about things.
Well, here's an interesting point. This is from LZ. Who looks quite attractive. She says, when I was a student, the Jehovah's Witness loved to knock on my parents' door. The best way to deal with them is to try to reverse convert them to the Church of Satan, which is hilarious. Yep, Gord, it's cold in Russia, and it's only autumn here. I ran the Moscow Marathon, and there was sleet. That's
Dr. sorry,
Robin.
Gord wants to see a picture of LZ.
No, no, no.
Oh, those are such boys sometimes.
Gareth, it was worth mentioning. If Gareth thought it was significant enough to be worth mentioning, I thought it was significant enough to go around and try to have a look.
Okay, and then what do you do following that? Just so you've seen her photo, and then do you want to call her?
I don't know, maybe just Gareth and I afterwards can discuss
actually,
it and compare.
Let me shut up, because I'm being hypocritical. I would do this.
Yeah, you rate people hard all the time.
Sia rates everyone.
Yeah.
He is so judgy.
Okay.
I didn't care until Gareth pointed out that it was remarkable. No, and then sorry. I was like, something remarkable.
I take
something
back.
Remarkable.
I take it back.
Grant and Nelsprate said, I grew up in the Jehovah's Witness cult. Luckily, they have a working brain and I managed to escape.
Oh, that's hectic, eh? This one person that I follow who's like a fitness person on Instagram, like, she's just a fitness person. And all doing workouts and stuff, and then the next thing she's like, she escaped the Westboro Baptist Church and wants to try and have her younger siblings like rescued and emancipated from there, but they're not, their brain has been rendered non-functional enough that they don't want to be rescued, but they're like 10 and 14. So she's like involved in that. Can you imagine though, like literally trying to extract your family from a cult/terrorist group?
Well, Leah Rimini is the girl who escaped from Scientology. She's got some really scary
stories.
Isn't
she the super obnoxious one from King of Queens?
I think so.
Yes. I don't know why you call
her. She is obnoxious, but let me tell you, she's got some frightening stories about that McAfee guy who runs the thing. What a creep he is.
Is he like the Palpatine behind Cruise's Darth Vader?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, exactly. And the Westboro Church is the one that, like, hates the gays.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's going to hell and they just cannot wait to get to watch. Yeah. Their idea of heaven is that you're in an air-conditioned room clapping, cheering, and wanking, watching hell.
No, that's exactly.
Ooh, they phrase another one. Yay, go Jesus, torture the child.
Yes, we
found the child once ate the wrong kind of cheese while listening to Hanson. Look at him burning in hell. What fun! Ah, forgiveness, mercy, and the love of God, and some eternal torture. What a jaw.
We have to admit, it is a little twisted.
It's entirely twisted. It's a fan club of people that can't wait for the murder and the torture and the. They'd be serial killers if what they were looking forward to was supposed to happen on Earth.
But every single day, you're waking up and you are gunning to go and protest against someone and like shout at someone.
You wake up to be mean.
Wake up terrified of hell and super enthusiastic that through your dickheadness, you're one of the people that's not going. And the way to keep yourself out is to condemn more people and try to force more people to believe what you believe. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand any belief system where what you believe is not making other people change their behavior. So, like, if you've got a, you want to worship anything, as long as you're not making other people also worship it, or making them be involved in your bullshit and mm-hmm. doing it somewhere where other people have the option to leave, who cares whether other people right. believe the same as you? Even if you're 1,000% right, who cares if you're right on your own or it's just you and your pals who are right?
See, that's why I like it every now and then when I see, like,
I know you do.
There's like these gay go-go dancers who go up to the Whisperer Church every now and then, and they just start stripping in front of the protesters.
Oh, the best.
Okay, honey, they're like, you know, go to hell. These guys are just stripping in front of them.
Now, Randy Bly from Lamb of God, he's a hell of a character and a really cool and nice guy by all accounts. I've met him. He's just such a good dude. Amazing stories about him. Anyway, for those people who care about metal. So, but he organizes these little parties whenever the Westboro Baptist Church in his area, because he's somewhere where they are, I don't know where, but in his area, when they organize anything, he organizes kazoo parties. And they literally get a whole bunch of people from the metal community, the We Don't Hate People community, mm-hmm. the It's Cool to Be Friends with Gay People community, get everybody out, and everyone brings kazoos. And they like sing and dance and have a really nice time, and they take the Westboro people snacks.
No, that's cool.
Like, they go and give them water and
proving,
snacks.
You're
and
just proving you're a
go and, like,
person.
Help them protest and make it nice for them. And it's funny as hell.
Oh.
Because everyone's right. covered in tattoos and they're gay and they're trans.
I want to get to the five things this morning, because we've got to know what's going on around us. Otherwise, we're going to be ignorant idiots.
What do you do on a day where six really interesting things happen?
One of them's got to go. The Amy Lidiyaha kidnapping case has been postponed to the Funderbale Park Magistrates Court. Remember, Tarina Himan, the six-year-old's teacher and alleged mastermind, appeared with Peter van Sale and Latisha Nell.
Ooh, Latisha.
You've got to see these
Latisha.
People. Just take a look at them. They
look coming like around this time.
Yeah, this time I want you to see them. These are not attractive people. Yeah. They
so hide away the belters and make me look at the mingers.
Look at the mingers.
Yeah, they were raised on the wrong kind of Jesus, bro. And also their family interrelations.
So these are horrible looking people. And I say that with all the superiority I can muster. Because
no, but they are, though. They've got that look like the genetic pool is the shallow end all the time.
Very, very shallow genetic pool, and not particularly salubrious people. So each of them told the court through their affidavits that they have only 10,000 rand available for bail. However, the state's opposing that, saying they have close relations with witnesses and could manipulate the case. They're going to keep them in jail, basically. And good. Kidnap a child.
Were they saying that they need to pay 10K, or that these guys have only got 10K?
No, they've each only got 10K.
Okay.
Sorry to digress slightly. I don't know. I wonder where it comes from in South Africa, where our courts allow for, you know, photographers to get so up close to people in the dark, and because you don't really get that in the States, right?
No, you do. I mean, they even allow video cameras in the States. We don't have that.
But, you know, they're quite far removed from the people appearing in court.
You know, you get...
I think that must be so bad.
You can be a long way away and use a very big lens, and you can get up close and personal. But also, I think if you're a suspect in a criminal matter, you don't have a right to not be photographed.
Once you've pled,
Unless you're a minor, and before you've pled... You obviously have some rights there. But otherwise, you know, once you're the accused in a case like this, I mean, look at how up close and personal they got with Oscar, and that was on video.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't...
I mean, we started reporting on his white spot that he had. Yeah. That's
in
how
hair,
close
right?
we got.
I think it's a bit of a, like, until, under the premise of innocent until proven guilty, it's
sure.
Having the whole world get to know what you were accused of, only to later be found not guilty, the whole world still... Like, I don't know, it's weird. I think the public has the right to know what's happening in the courts, but at the same time, like, if a person's whole entire private life is dredged up, and then in the end it was like, oh, you didn't do it, it's like, well, now you
if you didn't do it, then you're exonerated. You
sure,
on
but they'll
life.
Come up with a lot of, they'll dig up a lot of your private stuff that's not a crime, but is cuck private.
But they do that. They do that to a comedian. They dig up a tweet from 5 years ago and try to brand you as some kind of...
Yeah, but it's not like a police-level investigation into all of your private conversations.
Don't worry about that, because our police are so useless.
Connotation there.
All right. On to another story. Health Minister Zwelin Mkhize is denying that government failed to protect consumers. The Competition Commission's health market inquiry found South Africans are paying exorbitant fees for private health care. Let me just remind you, while that is true, all of this is happening in the context of government trying to gather for themselves all the power. And by this, I'm referring to the NHI. This is not, it's not a mistake, and it's not a coincidence that suddenly a report, which was launched years ago, is making itself known to all of us about how crooked the healthcare, so the private healthcare system is. Why? Because government are going to say after this, well, you see, the private healthcare businesses need regulation, and of course we are the perfect people to step in because we run things so well. Eskom, Transnet, SSA, SABC, Treasury. They don't run anything properly. So what they're going to do is they're going to say, oh, look, as the minister said, I'm going to quote directly from him because this is exactly where it's headed. The private sector has to take the responsibility. The government has to take the responsibility and everyone else, because we have to work on the basis of everyone collaborating to say what's the best way to protect consumers. There will be a lot of legislation that will be in place.
A good way to protect consumers, friend government representative, is for you to fuck in an offward direction and right. keep going.
Correct. Because you enter these schemes voluntarily. With government taking an NHI and forcing it onto the entire country's population, you don't have a say anymore. So let's just be very clear. And I saw the president suddenly appeared, and he doesn't appear when we've got xenophobic violence.
Must be some money on the line.
Right. It takes him like 3 days when there are illegal immigrants being killed in the CBD.
Got a 3 billion rand appearance threshold.
Right.
Only for matters concerning more than 3 billion rand we might lose.
So suddenly he pitches up on TV and says he's pained by corruption in the healthcare sector. It's not
corruption. Well, it makes sense you'd be pained by that. I mean, if there wasn't corruption, your pain would be sorted out.
It's not corruption in the private sector. It's perhaps, what would you call it?
Mismanagement.
Market manipulation. It might be extortion of
fraud.
A kind. But it is not. Corruption requires public money to be dispersed to the
is
wrong people.
Is that a true fact? Does the definition of corruption...
Well, I mean, I'm...
In the
I'm,
South African political context.
I think we need two standards here. And everybody likes to compare, you know, sort of a Steinhoff to what goes on with parastatals. And it's not fair to do that.
Yeah, because people are voluntarily investing their money in that business because they choose to for the purpose of profit. The poor people of the country have no choice but to have the government there.
Correct. So I think that there are two different categories. And I'd love to have the debate with anyone who thinks that they can defend government, because I think you've got all your work ahead of you.
Or an invested stake in government.
Anyway, I mean, listen, good luck, Zwelin Mkhize. You're going to try and tell us that you can manage things better than Discovery Health or Momentum or any of those guys. Go for it. I'm sure you can, because you've managed everything else so well. You hear that silence? Listen. That's Zwelin taking his time to come up with a good argument, and he'll be quiet for a long time. The manufacturing sector in South Africa is at its lowest level since the economic crisis in 2009. This is not good. The latest Absa Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index dropped from 45.7 points in August to 41.6 in September, which is a 10-year low. The data is an indication of policy uncertainty, which government could help with, and dwindling business confidence in the country. So that means that the manufacturing environment is set to worsen further going forward. We can't afford this at this point. So instead of looking at ways to get hold of people's money that they've invested in their medical aids, you should be looking at ways to get the legislation in place that will provide certainty in the manufacturing sector, you idiots. Then there's a Cape Town fire station in Ruland Street that has,
oh my God, I lived there for so long.
Yeah,
blocked from there.
They've heeded a call to boycott overtime work, which means that firefighters affiliated to the South African Municipal Workers Union are demanding a change to the overtime pay structure. So if there's a fire in Cape Town anywhere near Ruland Street at the moment, you might be in trouble.
Yeah, and they're the closest fire station to the sort of from kind of Greenpoint through Seapoint and around that mountainy area. I remember when there were some serious fires out there, like around about a little bit year or two before I left, so call it 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We thought, like, I have my little godson with me, and we thought, look, you know, there's a call for people to support the firefighters because they're out there in the blazing summer fighting fire, being heroes. And so we were like, cool, we're going to buy some boxes of bottled water and some food and take it through there. And we arrived and there was just this enormous pile of like stuff that people had brought for the firefighters, like more than they could. I don't know what they would ultimately have must have donated most
That's
of it.
That's fantastic.
Just such a cool, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, we're going to go drop off water. Oh, shit, hundreds of people have beaten us to it. So, yeah, that's a great fire station. They do a lot of work. They're very active. They're, like, you know, operate well for a government thing is what I'm trying to basically say. I've seen shitty ones around Joburg where you think, shit, if there's a fire, those oaks are screwed.
It's unclear whether the schools in Dunoon will start their fourth term after the resumption of learning was scuppered by protests on Monday. You know, we've been talking about this violence that's been going on there because taxi drivers are now being arrested for warrants, the huge piles of warrants that they just haven't paid or haven't dealt with. A lot of them are driving unlicensed vehicles. There are accidents every other day because taxi drivers are probably the worst drivers in Cape Town, but they're also the ones who are completely, you know, in blatant disregard of the law. So if you fine a taxi driver, they just carry on driving. They don't bother to renew their taxi, and then they end up driving some people around. The things unroadworthy end up causing an accident, and people die. So now, in response, they are getting violent, and they're burning tires, and they're attacking police. And
being held to the rules. How outrageous.
No, because there are a set of rules for the citizens and there are a set of rules for the taxi drivers, and they're different.
I try really, really hard not to hate taxi drivers. I try really hard not to hate anything in general.
I feel like there's a but.
Yeah, there is a but. It's just hard. I was stuck in a little traffic jam with a friend yesterday, and we were basically talking about how the traffic gets so poked. Hmm. Obviously, the volume of cars is going to cause congestion, but it's everybody trying to steal a little gap
that
causes the traffic.
Yeah.
It's that person that needs to go into the intersection when there's no space for them on the other side that then blocks an entire change of the lights for people who can't now get across. And all you had to do was not try and steal 4 meters that aren't yours.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, but I get that the taxi drivers, they've got loads of people in the taxi. Those people are in a hurry. They've walked far probably to get to the taxi. They're going to walk far after the taxi or even need to change taxis. Like, that person's 2-hour shitty commute from a hard job home should be easier, but then the dudes just take total liberties. Like, the new thing that I love is they go in the left and then they take the left slip lane as if they're turning left, but coming the other way there's another left slip lane from the other side, so they just go around the intersection basically. Like, instead of going straight through the intersection, you literally just do a little semicircle around it, take the slip lane off, cross the road, take the slip lane back on, and just keep going. My brain nearly exploded the first time I saw that. I was filled with such righteous indignation that I almost caught fire. Like, I literally, you know when you go
like the Westboro Baptist,
you make a high pitched noise, like you don't get rage shout, you go and you pterodactyl scream, and you shake more than you make sound. Like, mostly you just vibrate, but you go bright red, and you go, it's like a kettle with an old thing, those old kettles.
I never thought a sound like that could come from a human being.
I was just like that. At that point, if I'd had a large, like, machine gun or a rocket launcher, I would have used it and then felt terrible about killing a bunch of innocent people, gone to jail, and regretted that moment forever. That moment where I lost it and bazooka'd a box of people. Because one oak in there was a doer.
Well, Western Cape Education spokesperson Bronner Hammond said that several schools were affected. 5 schools are currently closed. There are schools closed in Joe Slovo with low people attendance. Over the weekend, a bus was set alight as protests flared up in Milnerton on Saturday morning. As a result, several roads were closed. And on Friday, passing vehicles were stoned. A truck and 2 My City bus stations were set alight. And roads were blocked with burning tires. So not just content with ruining the lives of school children, they also are upsetting other commuters who don't use them.
And putting noxious carbon-rich chemicals into the atmosphere.
Yes, which Greta Thunberg has just called in to say that she would like to talk about. Yes, Greta, go ahead, please.
How dare you?
Yes, well, thank you very much again.
Are you talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger's new BFF?
Is she?
They're hanging out together now.
Oh, nice.
What an unlikely pair.
Well, let's just talk about Sia's big day that's arrived, finally.
Excuse me, what?
Sia's very, very excited.
What would you like to talk about?
Sia's going to meet Meghan Markle today, which she can't wait for.
For realsies.
For realsies.
Oh, Sia, it's your day.
I'm going to cry. Don't even cry.
Are you getting yourself dead up? Are you getting...
yes, good.
Are you going to exfoliate?
I didn't even know that you were such a Suits fan.
Ugh. What
Suits? The Royales, yo. I remember being fascinated a couple of months ago in this very room to find out that the hot girl from Suits and the hot new princess lady are the same person. I was like, I suddenly get why anyone cares. There's some Hollywood angle to this.
I can't believe you're reducing her to just...
I just don't, yeah.
That...
I find people's fascination with the royals like bizarre because I can't understand why anybody cares. I like the history of the like British and various other aristocracies. Like it's interesting from a historical perspective that kings and queens used to rule. But the current thing, it doesn't make any sense to me. But that said, you know, live and let live. I'm interested in a lot of shit. I know most people can't understand why it's interesting. But I always just, without being judgy and negative about it, I sit and I listen and I'm like, I don't understand why this matters. It's like a bad real life soap opera. I just don't get it. But more power to you guys that do get it.
I just hope I'm not disappointed because I want so much drama today.
No, what do you mean?
I want to see so much security.
Oh, no.
I want to see someone. Oh, yes.
But do you understand that that's just going to add time to your day? And I want to get in there and get out, Sia. I don't want us to waste time.
See, I don't like this whole idea of royals trying to be like us. No. Flaunt the wealth. Arrive by carriage.
Oh, yes.
Have, you know, six ladies in waiting standing
by. Little glass shoes.
Yeah. You know, when Lady Ferguson got divorced and she had to leave royalty and start her new life, she says, like, she didn't know that you couldn't put metal objects into a microwave. That's the life.
The Queen Mother didn't know how to use a remote control for the TV. She used to ring a bell if she wanted to change the channel.
That is so gangster.
And someone would have to come in and change the channel.
That's the best, because you have to know, especially regardless of how detached you are from regular people and regular life, you've had an education, you're a smart enough person, you know that's unnecessary and you're just being extra. Ooh. And you sit there, I would literally do the same thing. You know what I'd have? Mm-hmm. I'd have a person whose job is to ring the bell so that... To call somebody, so I'll ring a bell that calls Jeffrey the bell ringer.
Ring the bell,
he
Jeffrey.
Then rings the correct bell for the person he needs, and that's how I'd operate. Jeffrey, please come and ring the bell. Ding, 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 ding. Jeffrey,
the bell ringer.
Jeffrey, you must ring the bell.
And if you have to ask him twice, it's too much.
I never asked Jeffrey twice.
All right. Are you guys talking about the deal or no deal girl? Yes, that's the one.
Please,
well,
I know nothing about this. She was...
Who?
The Duchess Meghan was a deal or no deal model.
The prince took the deal, didn't he?
He took money or the box.
He's got box. He's got both.
She is.
Garen is so pleased with himself. Look at Garen.
She's a dignified lady with vision.
Yeah, she's doing a lot of photo ops with like poor people at the moment.
Lest we forget, she's the lady who broke up with someone she was in a serious relationship with by writing a letter, giving the ring that she had and sending it to the sky, saying, "Look, it's over."
Sending it to
the
sky.
I have a royal.
Oh, this guy.
The sky.
Because I met Harry, so you're on.
You know, nothing.
She has vision. Jeffrey, applaud her.
Do you know what I think the poor people and the wretched of the world need?
Photo
do you know what will help them? Yeah. To see the wealthiest, most well-fed, and least wretched person in the world. Yeah. Come and say hello. Hello, poor wretched people. Look how wealthy I am. I'm sorry to see that you're all not so wealthy. In reality, I could buy you all a condo and a BMW, but I won't. I'm going to come here and hand you a plastic cup of water and help to purify one bucket of mud water, which I'll give you. Thank you. I hope you're inspired. I do hope you're inspired.
She still has an American accent, just a bit.
Yeah, that was a generic royal, not necessarily specific. Yeah.
It could be any
royal, yeah.
Okay.
Or even supremely wealthy.
Yeah. Do you know on the matter of her sending back the ring and kind of telling the guy it's over because she found a better option? Mm-hmm. I was reading about my favorite emperor of Rome, Augustus, when I just before I went to Rome, And I read a
story. He came just before September's, right? Sorry, I'm just trying to get the order of my emperors right.
We spoke about this yesterday, coming up. So he met this girl called Livia, and she was already married
to someone. Who was much more animated than Daya, who was a previous one.
Just shut up. I recorded you, moron.
Yes, Gareth.
So he met this girl called Livia, and he took a fancy to her. And at the very, on the same occasion that he had met her, he said, "Would you like to marry me?" And she said, "Well, yes, I'm already married." So he said, "Call your husband." She called her husband over. He said, "Would you like to divorce your wife?" He said, "Yes, Emperor." She divorced him there and then, married Augustus a couple of days later, and it was done.
The end.
Because are you going would to be the one like who said no to the emperor?
Would you like to divorce your wife?
Would you like to divorce your wife? I'd like
what
to marry
are my options if I don't?
Do go out to Germania and be eaten by barbarians?
I notice you have a lavish spread of ham sandwiches and also many heavily armed guards. How are my access to those two things influenced by the choice I might make now? Can I, if I don't divorce her, can I still have a ham sandwich?
Imagine.
Yeah.
And they both agreed and accepted.
Oh, yeah. She was like, "Well, I'm trading up. I'm definitely up for this."
Well, yeah, good for her.
By the way, I've managed so far this week. It's not a huge achievement, but I've stayed away from meat, and I'm going to continue this until I just can't anymore. So we'll see how it goes.
What's the story with that?
Oh, I'm just trying it out.
Vegetarianism?
Well, no. I'm not. Yeah.
Seeing how you do without meat. I've been meaning to do that for a while.
I don't know how
it feels,
so I'm going to give it a go. Because, of course, people can tell you, but you don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to try it out. And
I've
always really liked the
feel of meat, but I haven't tried it without. So.
You've liked the feel of meat?
I really want to try and see how it feels. I'm like, meat feels good. Mm.
Moving on, Gareth.
See, everything you say is actually very sexual.
I didn't make it sexual. Sia points out.
Oh, please.
Carry on with that context. Let me not stand in your way. Yes, you like the feel of meat.
You are the person that points out the innocent things.
God, I realize I like the feel of meat as well when I was 12 years old.
I did too, my own more than other people's, but you know, that's about the age.
It's that and some Lady Gaga music. Woo!
Never got that hardcore. Although she does a song with Metallica, and that's pretty cool, so she can stay.
Lady Gaga?
Yeah, so I almost went to Australia to go and watch Metallica and Slipknot, which would have, the trip would have started on the 15th, so soon.
So why didn't you?
Because I got messed around with contract stuff with a client of mine that they agreed my terms that I would do this patch of work but be gone for 2 weeks, and then they started humming and hawing about it, and it took them a month longer than what would should be necessary to sign off all my paperwork. Two things happened during that time. One, they asked me to quote them based on going on the trip and not going on the trip, and I saw not only what the trip costs but what I wouldn't earn being away, so I was like, oh shit, suddenly this is double the price. No, but by the time they'd sorted out my paperwork a full month longer than I wanted, the actual flights were now too soon and were way more expensive.
Yeah.
And it just, I was like, you know, I was feeling super disgruntled and bummed that because of being messed around, I had to miss out on this trip. But I was also like, oh, it's probably for the better. It's really a lot of money. Aside from these two concerts that I was going to go to, everything about the timing, I've been overseas twice already this year, you know, silver linings. Metallica cancelled the tour, and with them Slipknot.
Oh.
And I went to LA in 2016 for a number of reasons. I wanted to see LA, and it was friends of mine were going. It was not only to see Slipknot, but had it not been for Slipknot tickets that I had in LA, I wouldn't have gone on the trip. They cancelled. They didn't even cancel. They postponed because the singer needed an operation, but it was minor.
These guys sound very flaky.
In 2016 it was Slipknot that postponed, and now James Hetfield has gone back to rehab from Metallica, and he's famously been sort of sober from alcoholism since 2003. And I'm not aware of any relapses or anything, but the point is I almost for the second time paid for a very far away overseas trip, even by overseas trip standards, to go watch a band that would have cancelled. So I went from bummed that I had to miss it to supremely relieved I didn't pay 30 grand for plane tickets.
You didn't miss anything. Good for you.
And didn't pay 30 grand for plane tickets.
Sure.
To go visit mates.
A lot of money, especially in Australia.
But yeah, I'm sending positive strongs to James Hetfield. I love
thoughts
that
and
man.
Prayers.
Love thoughts, that man. Thoughts. Hashtag thoughts and prayers. Hashtag strongs. Hashtag believe. Hashtag James Hetfield.
All right, when we come back, we'll hit some news. We'll get into a couple of the things that are happening. And John Van der Reit, who is, of course, the guy who wrote Spud. He's a tremendously successful author. He's going to pop by to talk to us about a whole lot of other interesting projects he's involved in. Plus, he's a funny guy and he's cool to hang out with. So he's joining us this morning, and you can be a part of that conversation too. If you've got something you want to add to it, 0797482090.
CliffCentral.com.